Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gammon. I'm your interim host sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And here we are, end of the week again. And I'm super excited because I get to wrap up the week by hanging out with super awesome people. And we should meet all of the awesomeness that is here today, starting with Chuck. How are you?
I am here, Jeff. It's Friday. It's one of those weeks where you're trying to scram 6 or 7 days of work into 4 instead of 5. And so I'm kind of ready for the weekend and to get back to a normal schedule for a little while.
That sounds glorious. I'm looking forward to the day when I have a normal schedule to get back to.
Good point. <It's true>. Good point.
Yep. And Dave, how's it going for you?
I'm doing well, working today and staying busy. It's been a crazy week, but weather needs to get a little warmer. I wish it would, but it's not been too bad here. And recovering from a trip downtown, as well as I'm glad to be here to hang out with you guys.
Is that a euphemism, trip downtown?
Trip downtown Chicago.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
They're going to take Dave downtown.
Or Dave's taking everyone else downtown. Yep. Hey, Dave, if you do want warmer weather, come out here today. We're going to be...
Oh, you guys, it's been crazy weather.
It's been really weird weather, and it's been cool and rainy, but today we're supposed to hit 81 Fahrenheit. The trade-off is today is when the smoke from the Canada fire is supposed to like really start streaming down through where we are. So, you know.
I mean, the question is that import also subject to tariffs?
yeah, it probably is.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess it means I'll have to close my windows so that I'm not taking in any and I don't get hit with the 30% tariff.
Yes.
Yeah. And the man who's worth far more than a 30% tariff, Ben, how's it going?
Going pretty good. Not sick this week, so I get to be in with the show.
Well, I'm glad you're doing better. Welcome back. All right. And the person who puts our fashion sense to shame every single week, Patrice.
I thought you would say, Chuck.
Well, I mean, Chuck's a close second.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah.
No, I'm good. I'm good. I actually, this seems to be one of those rare Fridays where Dave is actually working and I have a day off. Because usually it's the other way around. So, yeah, we have next a week. Window day, it's called here. Fenstertag. Window day. Because yesterday was a public holiday, you know, one of those religious ones that I never remember. So today, basically, nobody's working. Like, that's not true. Some people are working, but not a lot in Austria and in Germany. So, yeah, good. Good week. I went to Slovakia yesterday on a ship. It was quite funny. Seen it now. But I've seen Bratislava, so, yeah.
Yep. I have to say that is a great idea, because I think I need a day off every time I have to use Windows.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, basically.
Oh, yeah, sure.
No, I'm with you. No, it's been a good week. I passed my first progress check on Sunday. Yeah, last week Sunday.
Pilot. So
that was nice. So now I'm on learning to land. I can do the basics, and now I have to learn how to land. Which, yeah, I did like 6 landings last Sunday already, and I'm like, it's a lot. But getting there.
You know, remember Patrice. Any landing you can walk away from is a good landing.
Yeah, but I also don't want to crash. But I mean, also probably won't, because I have a really, really, really experienced flight instructor with me. So he will catch if I make a mistake. And then...
Well, I'm just setting a bar for you so that you know you're successful every single time.
Yes. Yeah. But he's like, yeah, don't worry about it. You kind of have to get the feeling for how things look like, what is the height that you're over ground or over the runway, and where are you aiming, and is your speed correct, and all of that. It's like a lot of things you have to kind of recognize and pattern recognize at some point. So it's like, don't worry about it. Like, just we're just going to try to keep doing it and keep doing it the same way every time. And step by step, you'll figure it out. So, like, okay. It wasn't so bad.
Mm-hmm.
We did six. So we did get down somehow.
Awesome.
Yeah. So
that's it.
And all I'm right. not flying well, this weekend.
So. Oh, well.
Yeah, there's nobody. The planes were all booked and there's nobody available. So.
But you have a Vision Pro, so you could fly virtually this weekend.
I do in my mind sometimes. I'll put the Vision Pro on and put the cockpit on, basically, and then I'll just go through the like maneuvers and what I have to do. Imagine I'm flying. So that helps, actually. It does help. Like, you know, any professional, whatever, race car driver or anything will tell you, like, visualizing does actually help because you're going through things in your mind and repeating them, basically preparing for, okay, what will I do? What could happen? So.
Mm-hmm.
So another reason to buy a Vision Pro. Good. Chuck could there imagine go. Playing golf. Just saying.
That's right.
I would rather play golf than imagine yeah, okay. it.
Fair point.
I'm visualizing Chuck's virtual golf game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, you missed it. Into the rough.
Yeah, and well, to tie it into other shows, and that Chuck goes into the rough. And that's where he finds his fuzzy kiwis.
Yeah, well, that's a deep reference.
That yeah, like I just did a cross show reference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And for those of you that got it, I am so proud of you.
And if there's you didn't get it, now? call Eric Bolden. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Ben, where you took that in your mind? I'm very proud of you for picking up what I put down. Yeah. Hey, we should probably talk some Apple news while we're here and not just Chuck's kiwis in the rough. So
show title.
Let's
kiwis in the rough.
No, we have better ones.
All right, so let's start with the report that Apple is changing the naming nomenclature for operating systems, starting this fall.
Yes.
Yeah, probably with the September releases as usual.
That's the rumor, releases.
Or at least from Mark Gurman.
Yeah.
Right. So if Mark Gurman is tossing this rumor out, what that tells me is that he was fed the information from Apple as a rumor so that he could let everyone know.
Yes.
So what Apple did for basically forever was they had version numbers for all of their operating systems. And excuse me. And as new products with new operating systems would roll online, they would start with one for their version. So we've had different version numbers for operating systems, and then people started getting into the product code names, and Apple was naming them after cats. And so eventually, apparently, their marketing team said, hey, you know what would be really great is if we just use that. And so we ran through a bunch of cats, and they stopped right before they got to macOS Garfield and switched over to locations in California for the names. Mm-hmm.
For macOS, yes.
Yeah, for macOS. Yeah. And at that point, I had to give up.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly had given up before, to be honest.
Well, you would always rename them, Jeff.
Well, that too.
that's true. So, yeah. Like, right now we have, what are we on? We're in macOS Tall Trees. Before that, we were macOS Wine Country.
Yeah, see, I don't. I think that goes to the heart of the problem. Even we, the people who talk about it all day and should remember it, don't remember it. Like, so when we had a couple, like the early on, okay, easy to remember, there was only a few, but now we're like, how many versions into macOS even? It's
Yeah,
like
see,
too many.
I've lost the ability to keep track of a version number or a version name for operating systems. I remember there was macOS Mountains, macOS Other Mountains, there was macOS Beachfront.
Yeah, some Snow White leopards.
Yes.
Oh, right. But yeah, with the cats,
Yeah,
at
even with the
least they were
cats, I
the
get lost.
name was attached to the end of the number, so I could keep track of the number.
Kind
Excuse me.
of. Kind of.
Well, yeah.
Not really. Even there,
Yes.
after six or seven, it got kind of hard to remember.
Yes. And then the, and then when they went to macOS 11, they basically started over.
Didn't work either.
Oh, right.
It's like, okay, which number? I mean, honestly, which number of macOS are we on? Which number of iOS are we on? Does anybody know?
No.
I would have to think about it. I think, is it 17 or 18 now for iOS? And macOS is like 14,
It's
15?
18 and 15, not to be
Okay.
confused with the previously released 10.15.
Yeah, I see, exactly. So it's just a mess. And I mean on the Mac side, Apple has done this for quite a while, right? Because they stopped doing long time any names. I mean, for a little while they had on the iPad, it's like the iPad Air, the whatever, but even there they stopped it eventually because they were like, okay, it's just a year. It's like, okay, you have the whatever 2022 iPad Air. You have the 2025 iPad Air. Like, who cares? Like, it's the year, and that's it. And that's even that is hard enough, but people can usually at least remember roughly when they bought it. But
Well,
asking them about the version number, the black one.
and there was also the problem. There was also the problem of, late 2021 or early 2022. And, it is tough.
But I
And I
think
don't.
late and early is probably not that hard because they're rarely releasing two iPad Airs within 6 months. So you can say,
Well,
okay,
yeah.
is it late 2021 or early 2021 iPad Air? It doesn't really matter because there's only one that year. So if you say 2021, good enough.
And this is a challenge.
Mostly.
I mean, look, this is a challenge because
Yes.
for because the, I mean, would it be advantageous for them to list something standardized across the board? Absolutely. But on the other hand, they get criticized if they don't release hardware quick enough. They get criticized if they do release hardware quick
True.
enough.
True.
So, it's like there is no perfect answer here.
No, and with
There's
naming,
not even
there
a good
never
one.
is. With naming, there never is. But I think the numbers, as I said, numbers at some point got just too much for even for us. So I think the average person doesn't know. So naming them after the year and simply saying, okay, this is the 2025 version of whatever is probably good enough.
Except that's not even how they're doing it.
That's the stupid thing.
Yes.
They're doing
So this
it
fall,
the car way.
which is stupid. Absolutely stupid. So this fall, presumably, if Mark Gurman's information is correct, in 2025, we will get Mac OS, iPad OS, Watch OS, TV OS, iOS 26.
Off by one.
So they, what did they use Excel to figure out what the year was supposed to be?
Oh yeah, probably. Yeah. And it gave them a date.
And yes.
Maybe they put in, I don't know, March 26th. That's when they were doing it. They put in 26, and I was like, oh yeah, 2026
Yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh,
So
February 20th,
when So when I first saw the news, my thought was, oh, okay, well, this is great. Now we can at least talk about version numbers by year. But it's still wrong.
Yes, makes no sense.
Yeah,
But
makes no sense.
here's the thing on that, Jeff. I thought the same as you did, but I heard a very interesting take on that. It's,
Well, they're wrong, but okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
okay. Some of us tend to be early adopters, so we get it in the sun, so we get it in the summer. By the time it is actually released, we are in fall of fall of the year.
Yeah, which is
Oh,
there.
no, it,
Yeah, I think I know
so
where you're going.
yeah, so the most of the service life of the operating system will be 26, 27, etc.
Yeah, but it still makes no sense. I mean, there would be one single argument, and only about whatever 1% of people would understand it and would be confusing. But it's they're basically releasing it in their 2026 financial year, because that
Yeah.
starts October 1st. But even that,
So,
like, most people will not even understand it, so it's stupid.
yeah, in the echo chamber, naming it 26, you can look around to find a little bit of logic for it. Outside the echo chamber, I don't think the logic holds up.
For me, the question is what logic would hold up? I'm actually now thinking about it, and I'm like, even if it was 2025 and it was 25, would most people even know it?
No.
Yeah, okay, so then that doesn't matter at all what you name it, because nobody will anyway understand.
Well, and Apple has decades of proving that very point. It
It's
doesn't matter what you
true.
name it, no one's going to know what it
Yeah.
is.
Well, I mean,
Well,
they know iPhone. They know the basic name, yes. They just don't know what iteration.
also add the fact that when is their incremental updates? Is it going to be 26.1, 26.2?
Probably.
So, yeah.
What or look.
So does 26.1 come out in 2025?
Or
Well,
26.1 and it's in 2026.
Could
yeah,
also
I
be.
mean, look,
Okay.
Practically, there has to be some way to track what version you're on.
Yes.
So, I mean, I've honestly, during this discussion, I'm thinking, I wonder if it would be better to have Mac OS A, Mac OS B, than Mac OS B1.1, .2, .3, .27. That would be a designation that everybody, but see, here's the problem. That would be for the US folks, not that Sequoia or Sonoma isn't, but at least you would, because the numbers seem to get people confused. Maybe letters, a mixture of letters and numbers might not be so confusing, or maybe it would be just as bad, if not worse.
I
I think it'd be just as bad.
personally, I think, I mean, given that Apple anyway has switched to a, let's say, roughly month and a half, like 6 weekly cycle, 4 to 6 weeks, like we've seen so far, maybe just ditching the big version number completely and simply saying, okay, first version that comes out in 2026 is 26.1. Second version that comes out, 26.2, and so on. So really tying it to the year and saying most people will not know anyway, and the people who will know will they just need a number and it can be tied to the year. And I have products that release that way and it works surprisingly well because people are like they do recognize they know calendars and they do recognize calendars more than a calendar tied numbers more than others. Because they're like, yeah, I think I installed that in like February, so meh, probably dot two could be the right number. Right? So I think, as Chuck said, no, like, no matter how you do it, you're not gonna win. But that way, at least it's somewhat sane. It's like it's easy to recognize. It's like, okay, this was the first version that came out in 2026. Done. And maybe that's what's gonna happen. I mean, if we're saying that's gonna happen in fall, it could literally be they announce it during WWDC and it starts in 2026, and then it would make sense.
But then you get the only thing about that, Patrice, that the only reason I'm not sure that I like the idea of that is then that implies that unless we already have debates over what constitutes an update, what would constitute an update to Mac OS 27? Okay. So are you just going to rename it every year as so that it stays current? Or are you going to say, gee, it's December 1st, 2028, and I'm still running Mac OS 25?
Yeah, so
That,
then it's 3 years old. You
yeah.
can
So
tell.
yeah. Well, you can tell, but I'm not sure that feels like the that doesn't feel Apple-like to say, oh, you're running something 3 years old.
Yeah, but
you
it
know,
would be easy.
that
No, but it would
would
be
be
easy. I
more.
mean, because if it's released in December 2028, then it's 28 dot whatever, 6, 8, 10, whatever the number is. That's a 20, what was it? 28. So 28 dot whatever numbers, right? So I think it's easier for people to understand if the first part of the number is the year, and then I don't know the month, or I've like one of our products we do month. So the version that comes out in August is the .8 version, for example. Like, works quite well, actually, surprisingly. People seem to
Well,
understand that.
and you know, Patrice, to be fair about it, that's the way I number my shows.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, it's very easy to see how many shows there were in, say, 2023, because you're always going to know that the first number is the year and then the rest is the number of the show. So that might, if you did it that way and just say, okay, anything January 1st at 8 a.m. That it's gonna if there's a release done, then it's going to be that
Dot
year's
one.
number dot one
Yeah. And I
or
mean,
dot zero.
yeah. And technically, to some extent, Apple is doing that already because we get the dot zero in September. We get the dot one usually late October latest, sometimes early October even already, and so on. Like, so it is already, we already get, okay, we got eight, what is it now? Five so far. Five iterations of iOS 18? 18, I think. So far, so we already have that kind of. Yeah, we just maybe tie it more to the calendar than we did before. I said, I don't know, it's pure speculation, it's a rumor, but I think either way, the version numbers are hard, but I think they're easier when you tie to a calendar because you can just look at the calendar and say, okay, it must be 26 because we're in 26. The current version must be 26.
All right. So I'm feeling like we should keep this moving because Apple is not going to listen to us.
No, they're not.
Yeah. So.
Bob Beach has a suggestion. We should go to Roman numerals because that is not as confusing.
Oh, that's not confusing at all, Bob.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Right. And so at that point, every year becomes Mac OS Super Bowl.
It's true. Oh,
And you know,
God.
I don't really, everyone knows, I don't follow spectator sports, but every year I do see all the ads for the Super Bowl, and they always do that in Roman numerals. And there are years where I imagine there's a percentage of the fan base that has no idea what the number is at all. So, yeah. We can now move on to Mac OS Super Bowl.
Does that mean that all Mac OS users are gladiators?
Yes.
Yes,
Yes.
that's exactly what that means. So gird your loins, Chuck. We're going into battle.
Oh my God.
All right, so let's move on to something that may or may not be less controversial. So I'm throwing two links at the same time for this one. And so first, this is the 15th anniversary of the release of the iPad. And yeah, May 28th, 2010, right? Oh wait. This is okay, so hold on. This is the anniversary when everyone finally had the iPad. It launched a month earlier in the United States. Forgot about that
Okay.
part. Yeah.
So
So
when I was
still,
finally able to buy one.
when you were finally able to buy one. So
Nice.
regardless, 15th anniversary of the iPad, now including everyone. And so here we are 15 years later, which brings us to the second link that I dropped into the chat. Apple is finally adding iPad to the self-service repair program.
Yay. I think you
Yay.
posted the same link twice, by the way. Yeah, that's
Oh.
awesome. I mean, about damn time, but I was more thinking when you said it's 15 years old, I'm like, how little it has changed since then. Like.
Okay, here's the funny thing. You're right, I did. And it's
Doesn't matter.
because,
Doesn't matter. But I mean,
yeah.
it's also like the
Okay.
self-service repair program, and especially internationally, is a good thing. I mean, it's kind of, the whole discussion about like right to repairs and whatever. And I think it's, I mean, no matter how many people actually at the end of the day use it, everybody who does or has a like business maybe who offers repairs, which is also great because not every place has as many Apple stores as the US has, per whatever, at least in the major like urban areas. Like, I mean, there's literally countries in Europe that have zero, like literally zero. Austria has exactly one here in Vienna. Like, so it's
Which
good.
might actually, be closer to an Apple store than most people in the US.
That is true, and yes, for some people, but not the majority of people. Like, I think the majority of people in the US have a Apple store in reasonable distance. I mean, I remember in Phoenix there were like, I want to say three, four. I have literally one in a 2 million people city. It's not even a big one. So it's in a country that has 8 million. So yeah, I think it's a good thing for business.
I wish there were more models included, and maybe they will add more over time. Right now, it's iPad Air M2 and later, iPad Pro M4. Hey, how about that Apple product naming? So easy to keep track of what you have.
Yes.
iPad Mini, the A17 Pro model, and the A16 iPad.
Yeah, which is basically our current models, I want to say.
I believe you're correct.
Yeah, which probably is why they're doing it. I mean, one, it's current, mo somewhat current models. I mean, M2 iPad Air is the previous generation, but also it's probably the ones that they designed for this. Right, so it made it more serviceable for themselves and for others.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, I think it's a really cool program. Like, I can literally, if I wanted to fix my iPad, and why would I? But if I wanted to, I could literally order all the parts and the hardware to do it. Like, I don't know. If I need a crazy machine to get the display off, I can for a fee, or at least for a rental fee, I can get it. Deposit, I think it's more related to rental fee.
I'm one not to repair. I'm fine having a technician do it. It's too much work.
But that's your choice. It's an option for people who want, and I know people who, for one reason or another, want to do that.
And
There
that's
is repairs, for example, that
fine.
Apple or that even authorized resellers are not doing or not allowed to do, but that you could do with this equipment. Like, if you're like, I have two iPads and I want to, whatever, combine them into one, or I mean, I've done myself even some for like when I was working support, MacBooks, Frankenstein or Panda MacBooks, a white shell and a black shell together.
Oh, fun.
Stuff like that you can do. Like, no authorized reseller would be allowed to do that because Apple is quite strict about shit like that.
Oh, yes.
But
Yeah, I
with
like
this
the idea of
stuff,
a panda book.
yeah, you can do it. Why not? I mean, you could do a silver and black MacBook Pro if you want.
And I mean, here's the thing on it. 99% of people, even those with the technical ability to do this, won't. But yeah, the ultra tinkerers will do it. It allows additional business opportunities.
Yes.
And for Apple, it gets regulators off their back for something that, I mean, everybody knows how freaking hard it is to repair these things. So it's not like there's going to be people repairing iPads left or right. This is a very niche audience, so why not let them do it and get everybody off your back?
And it has two other benefits, right? I mean, one is Apple probably still gets a small cut from the hardware, at least, I would assume. And two, it's genuine parts, right? So the problems that you have with non-genuine parts don't apply here because it's an actual battery for a MacBook Pro, for example. like from
Yep.
or from the same manufacturer that Apple uses, or from Apple technically.
Yes, and there's a not insignificant chance they'll end up getting a new iPad sale out of this too.
Could happen, yes. But that's
Yeah,
but that's
there's
your
that.
that is possible, yes. But I mean that would happen anyway, I think. So that doesn't matter. No, but it's like I think it's a I've thought about it. Like I think I would, I mean just for the fun of doing it, because I've done it in the past, I would actually like doing it, and I would like to know that I could if I wanted to. So if I ever was in a situation where I'm like, okay, this, I don't know, no, I don't have a shop that I trust here in the area, Apple is not gonna do anything because it's out of warranty or out of whatever, or what, and they're not doing it. They will sell me a new one, but that's it. I'm like, okay, if I really want to, I can do it.
I think one thing that's going to be interesting, and this may be just taking two things that have nothing to do with each other, but I don't know of many, if any, iPad repairs that are done in most Apple stores.
Right.
And so
That's
does
true.
that affect this at all? Usually they get shipped off to Texas or somewhere,
That's true.
and to Apple's credit, man, they turn them around fast. I mean, but I just wonder if now with this alleged availability of these things, will Apple attempt to do more repairs, more common repairs in the stores, or is this just strictly going to be, no, our most efficient thing is still to ship and repair them in a place where people really, really know what they're doing?
Ladder.
Yeah,
I
I
would think
think
so,
yes.
Well, I've never been in the back of an Apple retail store, but from talking with people who have worked in those stores, there's not space to do that.
Not for every repair. I mean, it's Apple will do what's most efficient, right? So if it's more efficient to ship it to some central center and have all the repairs be done there, where they have this, all the equipment and whatever, then they will do it. If there's a repair that's easy to do and they can do it in place and have a quick turnaround, which is good for their customers, they will do that too. So it depends. The more difficult repairs, like I don't know, the Vision Pro, like some early models had a crack in the glass. Those were would get shipped because yeah, that's not something you do in a store.
Yeah, especially the cost
Yeah.
matter too.
Yeah. The equipment you need and all of that, and every store would have to do it. That makes no sense. And I mean, remember,
And
there's really tiny stores sometimes. They don't have a lot of space.
right.
I mean, I can tell you this as a former Geek Squad member. Very specialized equipment. It requires a lot of training.
Yes.
And
Yeah.
because of that, yeah, I mean, because of that, there was a lot of stuff that even when we got the initial Apple repair manuals,
Yeah, I had those.
they would still do certain things at Depot for the same reason Apple would. It just makes more sense because you have more space and you can train specialized people.
Yes. And then and because of those that equipment and that training, it's more expensive to do that. So it's more efficient for you to do as many with the let's say specialized people and equipment you have to do as many of those repairs in one place as you can, so that you're using that investment better. Right. So
All right.
yeah, like changing a battery in an iPhone, they do in store because it's like whatever, it's quick. But
One thing I
like,
wanted to add,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Dave, go.
So one thing I wanted to add is we didn't talk about it, and it was another article actually, is the fact that they're also opening up the parts depots as well to third party companies without having to be having a relationship with Apple. So that's going to give another outlet of folks that you don't have to go to the Apple store to get those repairs done, because now this is giving them more flexibility to be able to buy the parts needed to get the repairs done. So they did open that up too.
That's true, yeah. The parts, the software, like the manuals, like you get a lot of access to stuff through that program.
Okay. I'm going to move us on, even though we could probably talk for hours.
We're good at
And
that.
I mean, we usually
we
do,
are.
yeah.
So I want to hit another topic before there's actually a bunch of topics I want to hit, but I know us. So I want to hit one more topic before we jump into the cool things and then get out of here. And this is the report, another Bloomberg report, that Apple wants to release AI smart glasses next year. So that would be 2026, but I'm sure they'll call them 2027 because that's how they name things now.
Of course.
All right, so I'll share my thoughts first. On one hand, I like the idea of this because having something that, if it works well, that I could use all day long and out and about, that I could see where it would be nice to have an extra display that that I'm not having to pull a phone out of my pocket, lift my wrist up to look at my watch. Excuse me. On the other hand, I'm feeling like Apple is going down the AI path because they feel like they have to at this point, not because they really have something unique to bring to the table. It's like, okay, Chromebooks. Apple totally skipped Chromebooks. And I think they were right to do so. I feel like where we are right now, that's the same thing with AI for Apple, like in the path that they're following now. And I see this as part of that, and I don't think Apple should be doing this. Clearly, I'm the guy that's not happy with where Apple has taken us with their AI efforts so far and their voice assistant efforts. So I'm coming into this with a tainted perspective.
Jeff, I will say, you know what? Oh, go ahead, man. Sorry.
Look, I mean, the Meta Ray-Bans have been a relatively successful product for Meta. The Android XR glasses were relatively well received. I mean, there's at least technology to have a small information screen now that they are somewhat useful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a little bit to the point of, I wouldn't say quite Apple Watch functionality, but
yeah, kind of.
That goal is kind of within reach. So, I mean, if it's something that people find useful, especially people like me who literally I have to have these at all times.
Same.
Yep.
I think we have five people on the panel that one way or another are wearing glasses.
Yeah.
These are just readers, so only I have to watch while I'm looking at you.
Yeah. I honestly think it's a step towards the ultimate goal, which is putting Apple Vision Pro in those glasses.
Yeah.
But it's got to be one of those things where you take the two products on the polar extremes and they keep getting closer.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, Ben, to your point, is it a surprise to anybody who paid any attention that this is the path? I mean, we got the iPhone originally with like all the AR XR stuff that we got there. Then we got the Vision Pro, which was kind of using all that knowledge that they have this is the thing we can do where we go to the maximum. But it was very clear that the path that even I think Apple wants to take, like all the rumors and what the market is doing, like look at what we just mentioned, all the company who Ben just mentioned, that was the ultimate goal at some point, to have that shrink down and become kind of, as you said, like the Apple Watch, like the glasses we're wearing, whatever. Is that for everybody? Hell no. I mean, like the Apple Watch isn't for everybody. Like it's like the iPhone's not for everybody, like everything. But that is the goal. And if you can take a step along the way and kind of say, okay, the Vision Pro is on one end, like Ben said, like this is the maximum we could do, like the full on, full power, everything is in one thing. And the other end is we want to get to the glasses at the end. Like, and we have two paths. And one is the Apple Watch that, like, the original Apple Watch, remember, couldn't do anything. That path. And the other one is that kind of the iPhone on a MacBook can do everything, right? And at some point they're gonna meet. So why not take both paths and like learn from both things? Because you can learn from, okay, what can we do with glasses? How can we make them wearable, whatever? And on the other end, what can we do to make the software better, to make the sensors better, to like improve the whole product? And at some point they're gonna get together.
Now, Patrice, I think that's a different product than what this article is talking about. And the product you're talking about, that's the one that I want.
Yeah,
It's.
but it's the it's I said it's this it's the parallel path. So the vision pro is on one
Sure.
side, and the product that they're talking about here is the other side, the other extreme, where it's like, okay, we have glasses, and there's maybe a little thing where we can show something, and that's it, and like some AI features, whatever, because AI has to be everywhere. And the product you want is the end result, right? Where they're both meeting.
Yeah, I want that end product. You're exactly right. That's what I want. What I want, though, is a product that is AR, not AI.
Yeah, you. I mean, that train has sailed. That train, no, the train
I
has
know,
sailed.
I
Whatever.
know.
That train has left the station.
I
That
love
ship has
that.
sailed.
Patrice's train just sailed.
That's a
It's
show title
everywhere.
right there.
That train has sailed.
Well.
Yes.
But Jeff, I got to ask you, what without AI, then what, I don't want to say what use would the glasses be, but would you just tie them to the iPhone constantly as the source and have to do your queries always, excuse me,
You're going to have to do
always?
that anyhow.
Okay, maybe so, but I guess I'm trying to figure out what your objection is, or what AI, what these glasses would look like, sorry, without AI. What's the point of not including AI, other than just if, unless you have a basic objection to all AI?
Well, I don't have a basic objection to all AI. The when I okay, so what we were visualizing as smart glasses 5 years ago, they were a an accessory, if you will, to our iPhones, and so they would be using the computing power and the internet connectivity through our phones to give us an AR experience. So, the ability to have a heads-up display as you're walking down the street, so you get to where you need to go, getting other pieces of information that are being displayed to you. So, going back to what Patrice was saying, kind of Apple Watch sort of experience fits in with that, but it's not a watch. So it becomes like a supplemental display that can proactively give us information. And that's not the same as AI the way people are looking at it today. So that would be
Yes.
where Apple was going 5 years ago, where they were doing all of this machine learning AI stuff that was under the hood. And that was the stuff that was actually useful. And so my Chromebook analogy applies to what they're working on now, which is getting on the LLM bandwagon and giving us AI things that don't fit with that original plan. And I think that Apple is stumbling with this new path. I think they should have stuck with the old path, where it was this kind of transparent thing under the hood that was giving us really useful information and not getting it in the way. And I know for some people it's not in the way, but it wasn't giving us the sort of experience people are expecting now with what we're calling AI.
But it's not
But
mu
I'm a
but it's not
curmudgeon.
well
Yeah,
that too, but it's not mutually exclusive. You can have both. You can have, I mean, at the end of the day, what is gonna be? It's probably gonna be Siri or something like that. Maybe we get a good better Siri at some point. Plus, I mean, who's to say they can't do all the other things? Because they have it. Like, they have it in the Vision Pro, they have it in our iPhones, whatever. Like, they can do both.
And Jeff, also, and I hear what you're saying, and I don't necessarily disagree with it, but I feel like the way the market has and the public perception
Yes.
has come about, that there is pressure that Apple is not and has not done a great job of advertising that, Apple intelligence is already here. It's been here for years. Okay. It, but right now everybody's looking for Apple intelligence. You know, I want the S lady to be smarter, and I want, you know, to be able to type queries into a box like you can with ChatGPT, as opposed to, as you said, keeping it in the background, keeping it part of the entire experience. That there's, I mean, we're back to it. Apple marketing at times is brilliant, and Apple marketing at times just doesn't seem to get what, you know, which way the wind's blowing. And so I feel like Jeff, I love your idea, but it has to be communicated properly. And maybe people don't have the attention span to understand that. Yeah. Maybe all they want to do is hear Apple intelligence, 1.0, 2.0, A, B, C, D. Here's what the new capabilities are, just like you're seeing with ChatGPT.
Yeah, and all the others. But I mean, it's like the next, I mean, the LLMs currently are in a hype cycle. We know that. I mean, everybody calls it AI, it's an LLM. It's not the whole thing. The next thing is agentic AI that's coming, and I'm using it, the copilots and whatever, and it's really good. And it's kind of more, I think, even more in line with what Apple's been trying to do with Siri and so on. So as I said, it's not going anywhere. It's what people understand. It is useful. It is helpful for some things. It's not good for others yet, but at the end of the day, it's not, I mean, it might be a hype cycle. It is going to die down. People are going to move on to the next thing. That's always what happens, but it's not going away. It's going to be here, and Apple should invest in it and should be using it for the things it's good at. And they've struggled with that, but they will do it. And this is a product. I think this is I mean, honestly, using the Vision Pro a lot, I think this is a product that's perfect for that. And not the text box and I write something way, but the agentic AI way, where I'm like, I'm wearing my glasses, I'm wearing my sunglasses, I'm wearing whatever, and I just tell it to do something and it shows it to me. And I'm telling it I want to go this and this way, and it shows me the directions. That's what I think it should be, and that's where I want to go.
What I want too. So apparently, Patrice, what I'm saying without realizing it until now, I have to send you another therapy payment, don't I?
Yes, you do.
Is that what Apple is offering today under their AI umbrella?
It's crap.
It's crap. Yeah. And what I want is that agentic AI tool that Apple has kind of danced around a little bit with some of the things they've been doing already.
Yes.
You know, like you get in your car and you start driving, and your iPhone's like, oh, okay, maybe you should be in the driving focus mode. And
yeah, maybe. Hey, do you want to close? Should I close your garage door? It's still open.
Right.
Stuff like that.
And hey, you typically head off to the gym this time of day, but the traffic is bad, so you should leave 5 minutes earlier.
Mm-hmm. And all of
that stuff is useful.
Yeah, and all of that is in there. And all of that would be useful to have any glasses. And I think that the glasses, like what is proposed in this rumor, are the next logical step. And I mean, we're seeing it. Others are doing it with some success. So I think it's not... I mean, Apple will add their own thing. And I think if they will probably be the best designed glasses you can imagine, with like over-engineered to the nth degree. And the software will lag behind, as always, because that's their thing right now. But they will be cool and magical. I'm pretty sure, because they have the people to do that, and they will add something special to the market over Ray-Bans. I think those are, I mean, Ray-Bans honestly right now are probably the biggest competitors from a brand perspective.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yep.
Comment here. You were talking about having the glasses and being able to look at things while you're out looking at them. I would love that. I mean, I think they're already looking at the technology. Like the Gemini's got it now, where the app just came out where you can be showing something and then it can tell you what it is very easily.
Yes.
How about that? Having glasses to be able to do that. I think that would be amazing.
Oh, 100%. Prediction for Vision OS 3. I'm pretty sure that's coming.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to be walking around the Vision Pro, though.
But it's like, I mean, for sure not outside, but it's like, in all honesty, that's how Apple operates. They sometimes ship things and products that on the surface don't make a lot of sense. Like, hey, why do we need XR and LiDARs and whatever on our iPhones? It's not really useful. And then they come out with a Vision Pro and you're like, ah, that's why. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, and Apple even telegraphed that to us.
Oh. Well, indirectly.
Tim Cook specifically was saying things like that.
Indirectly, yes. That,
yeah.
They never were open about the product, but they were saying, yeah, this is a step.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay, we need to keep moving along because
let's go.
Hey, everyone's on a schedule. So first, Dave, holy crap. I almost did the parent thing where you run through the names of all your kids before you get to the right one. Seriously, I almost said Ben, Chuck, Patrice, Dave. Sorry about that.
Yeah, and then you know Dave, who the favorite child is, right?
Yeah.
Well, it rotates depending on who you're annoyed at the moment.
Okay.
At least it did in my house growing up. Yeah, sometimes I was Cindy, John, Jeff. Other times I was John, Jeff, Cindy. And then every now and then I was Jeffrey. No other names. And that's when I knew it was about to go down. Anyhow, Dave.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for being so generous and sharing your show notes with us so
we
don't miss out on important stories. For those of you that are like, show notes, Dave does show notes. Yes, for In Touch with iOS. And Dave is always super generous with that. So thank you. Also generous, Patrice, you have donated so much time. just to keeping things running in general, but also to set up this modern live stream and live chat system, which is super awesome. So thank you for that. And do you mind telling people how the chat works?
Yeah. Totally. So this is all running on, also sponsored by me, my server right now at Hetzner. We talked about that last week. And it's a really cool system called Owncast. You go to live.britishtechnetwork.com. It's kind of like YouTube or all the other streaming platforms like live streams. So you have the video on the left, the chat on the right, and literally just start typing. It generates really funny names like Wizardly Femet, Mystifying Westcoff, Boring Pizza. I don't know why pizza would be boring, but maybe it's pineapple. I don't know. I actually like pineapple, so maybe it's not that boring. It's like, oh, we have a last minute joiner. Hi. So it's a really cool system. It's a really cool system that we have here. And we stream every Friday 4 p.m. UK time and usually Thursday 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. And if you want to get the live transcript, like all the links and everything that was talked about in this show and any other show we've done on the network since 2015, I want to say, head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and select the date. And if you select today's date, which would be May 30th, 2025, you would see what we talked about today in the chat.
Awesome. Thank you for that, Patrice. Also awesome. Holy forking shirt balls. You had just showed up.
I can't believe you lot are running to time.
Time for cool things.
Ewan, we run a tight ship here. I'm you always have.
So sorry. I've crashed.
He's been a fine interim host.
I've just got Tracy's text.
So for you, right on time.
I don't know anything about Apple anyway, so it's a good job I haven't turned.
Well, the great news is you are just in time for cool things.
Oh, cool.
So you don't even have to pretend like you know anything about Apple news this week.
I can give you a pass of the week instead of a pick of the week. Sure. The fact that when you put your phone on silent now, Siri doesn't say anything when you ask her where she is. Which numbnuts at Apple thought that was a good idea? I've lost you and you're on silent. Yes, I'm not going to get a phone call, but it doesn't mean ignore me, woman.
Well, apparently it does. And we just didn't get the memo. Yeah. That's awesome. Ewan, it's great to see you.
Yeah, I want to do the first cool thing, and my cool thing is you and Rankin being here. That's fantastic.
Joining you kiss ass.
absolutely.
Where did Dave get the money for that office? It's amazing.
Isn't it great?
Up, mate.
Dave's been office. Skimming off tariffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chicago politics.
Do I have to charge you lot for coming on the show now? Is that how it works, right?
Yeah.
And now that iPhones are going to be a bajillion dollars because you're made in the US.
Tariffs, yep.
Yeah. I should start drinking earlier in the day.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave, you did throw your cool thing in already. So
yes. I found this very cool thing. It's made by a company called Spotminders. What it is, it's a tracking card. It's a card like this, almost like a credit card. There's so many of them out there, and I was kind of scouring the internet looking for this. This is a US-based company out of San Francisco, but you know the product's going to, of course, probably ship from China, which I think it did. But it works really well. It's like, but maybe the as big of maybe two credit cards. It fits in your wallet quite nicely. I can just put it right in my wallet here, and it's ready to be a tracker. All I have to do is there's a power button right on this side here. It's got the little logo on here. You can't see it, but you push and hold it, and the Find My on your iPhone finds it, and then it sets it up like almost like an AirTag. So then I can put this in my wallet, and you can put it in your purse. You can put it basically anywhere that you wanted to use this type of device, and it works great. And it is wireless charging, which is even better. So I can put this on a wireless charging base and charge it. And I'm pretty impressed with this. You can get like a 3-pack right now, but you buy two, get one free. I think it's like $88 US, which is not bad. And Patrice, this comes in pink. Yes.
Oh, so, nice.
So really cool thing. And I'm really impressed with this. And I got the three, so I'm going to put in my wallet and a couple other. I'm always losing things.
That's a good idea. The only way it doesn't work is if you have one of those RFID blocking wallets, I bet.
Yeah.
Well, I can see where that would be a problem.
Yeah.
This is the cool wallet. You can't see it, but I've got the ones where it ejects the credit cards. So they're just flipping. I went really slim down. Everybody has the Costanza big wallet with all their receipts they're pulling up. I went to a little slimmer wallet, so I don't carry as much stuff. So this will fit perfectly. And then I'm not wondering where the heck it is. I'm going to put it right in my wallet.
Awesome. Hey, Dave, I know, excuse me, I know you have a heart out in about 15 minutes. So give us where we can find you so that if we get long-winded with some other cool things, you don't get shrifted on that.
No problem. I'll stick around. You can find me at InTouchWithiOS, InTouchWithiOS.com. I'm here on Fridays on the Mac. MacDux is live on Tuesdays. Been occasionally on Vision Profiles with Marty. YouTube channel, youtube.com/InTouchWithiOS, as well as on Mastodon, Blue Sky, at DaveG65.
That's just awesome. Good. Look, I know you got to get out because rankings turned up.
I totally threw Dave under the bus for that one. Sorry, Dave.
I might stay longer now just push this work aside I have to do.
All right. Well, that's fair too. Okay, Patrice, tell us about your cool thing.
So my cool thing is a French app. It is, and unfortunately, it's going to be slightly political. It's for the people who don't want to support American companies for one reason or another. It's from, as I said, from, I think it's French or Canadian. I don't remember. I think they're French or French-Canadian. Who knows? It's a really cool app. Basically, it's a barcode scanner. So you scan a barcode, like I have here, for example, some nail polish. And if I scan it, it will tell me that this brand is Essie, from which is a US company. Parent company is L'Oreal in France. So it gives you all the details, and then you can make your decisions. It gives also some details about political contributions in the US and alternatives and all of that. It's a really cool app. It was in the news in the US for some reason. Some people seem to think that it was interesting, and I saw that and was like, oh, this is a cool app, and because I want to definitely reduce my exposure a little bit there. I'm using that. So highly recommend it. It's called, it's French. De-Trump yourself in English. De-Trumpez-vous. Funny name place as well.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That sounds like a lice and tick powder.
Oh yeah, probably.
Patrice, I I do spend a lot of time in Fort Collins, Colorado, and it's in an area where it's like extremes on the political spectrum. So there's I think it's a Reddit group where people have been listing all of the businesses in the city that are hardcore Trump supporters, so that the rest of the people know which businesses not to go to.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, it's a crazy world we're in, but I like the idea of, hey, let's make an app out of that. And you can submit your company. So if you scan a barcode, like I tried a couple, like this Keylight Mini from Elgato, for example, is not listed, so I'm gonna list it. Can
That's
enter it
awesome.
right in the app. So easy peasy.
Cool. Okay, Ben, tell us about your cool thing.
Okay. The one thing that I think we've been missing for a while is a good MacGuffin movie.
Yes.
Growing up and in my 20s and when I got old, I really loved movies like the Indiana Jones, now Pentology, whatever the hell it's called. The Mummy movies, National Treasure. They were just fun. Well, Apple has entered the picture with a movie they really, really should have released in theaters, called The Fountain of Youth. You have John Krasinski as the main character, Natalie Portman playing his sister as the co-lead character. You have a lot of other great actors like Isa Gonzalez. Whatever his name is that played General Hux.
I'll
But
look up whatever his name is.
yeah,
I'm looking at the character or the actor list. Stanley Tucci, Laz Alonso.
It
A
goes
really
on
good
and on and
cast.
on. Yeah, it's a really good movie, directed by A-list director Guy Ritchie. This should have been a summer blockbuster
I think
because
so.
it was that good. It's what else can I say? It was fun. There's nothing more I could have wanted from that movie. It was really, really, really fun.
It's
It was
entertaining.
fun.
I agree. I said it, I did put in our room in shite or not. I did say it was not shite, but it's I don't think it would have made the money back. It's a bit, it tries to be Indiana Jones and doesn't make it, but it's a great watch on TV, 100%. Love it. It was enjoyable.
Yes.
All right, I'll put it on my list of
Yeah,
movies to
I've been
watch
seeing that
sooner as
pop up.
opposed to later.
Oh, it's well worth a watch. No, I'm not detracting from that, but Ben's dead on. But I don't know if it had made the box office. I mean, the box office is dead anyway, isn't it? I mean, Mission Impossible's going straight to video almost. So,
And that was
well,
the
I mean,
most
it's got
successful
the,
box office movie in forever, so.
Okay, so Chuck, your turn.
I'm going to maybe spend some money, but hopefully save you some money, because for better or worse, I had some experience with this. This, pardon me, this is the Govee upgraded smart water leak detector. To be fair about it, I was using or am using the prior version, but I had some water in my basement where I have never had water in my basement, and this alerted me to it before it became a real problem. The surprising thing is that I'm the one that fixed the plumbing that was giving me the problem. So that's why I've now doubled up on the water detectors because I did the repairs, sort of like an iPad repair. This was phenomenal. It sent me an email and let me know that there was a problem going on. I immediately responded, and it obviously saved me a lot of money because I don't go to my basement, probably once, maybe once a week, if that. And so it could have been down there for a long time, creating mold and mildew and all kind of problems. The best part is that this is only $64.50 US right now. And Govee is such a great company. They They are very diverse, and this is one of the less expensive water detectors. So if you think that you have a problem or a place that you could have a problem, these are pretty easy to purchase, set up, deploy, and be ready just in case. I hope that you never need them. I was darn glad that I had put one of these down in my basement.
When I get to heaven, my grandfather's going to meet me, and he's going to say, how's life down there? I said, well, I can't tell the time without my watch. And my plumbing system sends me an email if it's leaking.
Yeah.
What a marvelous age we live in.
I like it. Yes, it is.
I've had a thought, Jeff. This will suit you, right? You wait. You put one of these in the bathroom, of course, mm-hmm. and then when your girlfriend gets in the shower, it tells you she's in the shower, so you can go and watch.
I'm going to buy 3 packs right now, just so I have backups.
Where's that order again button? Yeah.
Right? Can I subscribe to this?
Yeah.
Just have these show up like every 6 weeks.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there.
next week's pick is going to be a Tapo camera because you can't manage the stairs anymore to get up there fast enough.
It's like, you know me, Ewan.
Jeff, of course I know you.
Okay, so I believe that means it is my turn for cool thing. And my cool thing is more of a PSA. But it's also free. It's a free app for iPhone, and it's IQ Air Visualizer. And I'm picking this app because we are now back in fire season again. Well, okay, the way it is in Colorado, we're kind of in fire season mm-hmm. all year round anymore. But we're in the bigger continental fire season. And right now there's a massive fire in Canada that is pushing a lot of smoke south across the United States. And today's the day when the smoke is really going to start hitting Colorado, where I am. So this is a great app to have so that you can keep track of air quality in general, but especially when you're in the path of smoke from wildfires. And it's free, and it links to your Apple Watch as well, so you can get alerts about air quality changes, and you can set it so that it tracks air quality where you happen to be at the moment, as opposed to just a specific location all the time, but you can check air quality pretty much anywhere. So IQ Air Visualizer, and it's a free app, and it's super awesome. I believe it's been a cool thing, a pick for me before. And guess what? It's still awesome.
Bob Beach has made a comment about Ben's pick. He said, I started watching the film, and the opening sequence was ludicrous, and I totally get it.
Yeah.
He switched off. I nearly switched off after the opening sequence. I was like, oh my God, here we go. But I stuck with it. And so, yeah, he said, I hope it's better for the rest of it. It is. It gets better. Yeah. The opening sequence isn't good.
Yes.
Yeah. It's still ludicrous, but it's a fun yeah. ludicrous.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, as if Indiana Jones wasn't ludicrous.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they had Germans.
That's true. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, and Indy, he hates those guys.
And snakes.
Less than snakes.
That makes two of us.
Yep. Yep.
Yep. Wow. Just sit back and reveal your inner geek right there, everyone.
All right. So it's now time to wrap up. And Dave, look at that. We got you taken care of before your hard out. So we'll pretend like you just told everyone where to find you. And we'll move on. And Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com. That's where you'll find everything I'm doing and all the people I'm talking to. This next week, as this is recorded, I'll be wrapping up our NAB show interviews. We are doing the Road to MacStock series as well, getting ready for all the fun we're going to have in Crystal Lake, Illinois, along with all of our other content. And you can find me on all the socials as at Chuck Joyner. Thanks, Jeff. Ewan, great to have you. Come back
yeah,
soon.
I'm coming again soon. I did try and get on the big show last night, but it didn't happen. And I was on the big show last week. So I need to get back abreast of the... I'm going to watch the keynote when it happens. So at least I'll have something to talk about next week, I hope.
Great.
Yeah, next week we will have keynote poker.
Yeah, that's right. I'm looking forward to keynote poker. It's so great to see how poorly I do.
Have we revisited the annual predictions, by the way? The New Year's predictions?
Not yet.
Because I think I'm 2 for 2.
You might be, yes. I haven't checked in a while.
16-8, that was me. I said that.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming...
That's for a bloke whose modern technology is a Razer V3. I am Cary Holtzman these days.
That was a great little phone.
It was, absolutely.
Yeah.
I've got a new sponsor next week.
Zeros. Oh, yeah?
Ooh. Yeah, I've got a new server.
Nice.
So, and Patrice will be sorting that out in the coming week, I hope. All technologies have sponsored us. So I'll send you some stuff what to read.
Awesome.
That's fantastic.
Great news.
By the way, Ben just got a non-graded pick. I just checked round graded prediction. Ewan might show up again on the Mac show.
Oh, has he got his?
Non graded, unfortunately.
Ewan, you should have skipped the year just to spite Ben.
Damn, Rothig. Damn you.
Yeah. Well, Ben, when you're not making incredible predictions, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me at Ben Rothig on your social media of choice. You can find my writings from basically last year at raythigtech.com. Occasionally, when work is not getting in the way, you can find me on such podcasts as In Touch with iOS with Dave Ginsberg, Mac Voices Live with Chuck Joyner, and of course, the McDonald's shows, The Big and Mac, right here on the British Tech Network.
Okay, what I love, Ben, is that even with you in present, you were brave enough to throw out that British accent of yours.
It should be thrown out.
Yeah, that's the trap.
You, sir, are a brave man. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me every week here on the Big Show and on the Mac Show, except for the ones where we for some reason can't do it. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcast, the projects, everything on my website, thepatrice.com. Jeff and I have a really cool podcast called Retro Rewatch. I'm about to publish, very cool, for also apropos for this week, the holiday episode. Season 2, episode something, 2017 or something, 16, 17, something like that. Holiday from Stargate SG-1. I want to also mention we have social media links for British Tech Network. We have at British Tech at techhangout.social on Mastodon. We also have at britishtechnetwork.com on Blue Sky. And of course, as always, we have an email address, britishtech@gmail.com.
Awesome.
Do you know on the 5th of July, we've been doing this 17 years?
Nice.
Wow. Yeah. Do you feel old?
Wow.
17 years.
17 years ago we started. 5th of July, first ever Daily News show.
That's a long time.
I've got it as well. I'll post it.
Oh, that would be cool. Retro.
It's not because it's shit and it's me for 3 minutes talking about Firefox.
Well.
Yeah, I use Firefox.
Exactly.
And whatever you said, it's probably still accurate.
Yes. Hasn't changed since then.
Yeah. So everything started on the 5th. So the day after Insurrection Day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Hey, Ewan, do you want to share where people can find you?
Yeah, I'm Ewan Rankin, a photographer in England. You can get my work at ministryofimage.co.uk. It's worth a look, I hope. And you can get me at Twitter. I still use X. I still use it, usually to slag people off. And I'm on Instagram at Ministry of Image. And just you'll find me. I'm going to be here more often, I promise.
Well, I'm always looking forward to seeing you. Regardless of how often it is, more is better with you.
Yep. Nope. That's a new server this week, so we'll be off and running.
Awesome. Okay, so then for me, I'm Jay Gamut on the social medias. I'm posting right now on Mastodon and PixelFed and Blue Sky. And then for shows, Chuck lets me join in on Mac Voices Live. Dave lets me join in Touch with iOS. And for some reason, Ewan still lets me be the interim host here on the British Tech Network for the Big Show and the Mac Show. Brian Chaffin and I do the Context Machine. And as Patrice pointed out, we're doing Retro Rewatch. And if you watch the episode that she's getting ready to post, you get to see how incredibly stupid I can be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, there's a reveal Patrice gives me during this episode where I'm like, I'm an idiot. How did I not catch this? And I won't elaborate because I want you to have the full emotional impact of realizing how stupid I can be. Anyhow,
Right.
so
Watch out, there's a queue for that.
right? Yeah. Well, you know, I'm trying to live up to a standard there, or down to a standard. It depends on your perspective. Anyhow, so it is now time for us to wrap up. And Ewan, I'm so glad that you showed up as a surprise addition to the show this week. It is making this Friday even more special for me. And every Friday is special because I get to hang out with all of you. Yeah. So, all right. So everyone, thank you for being here, all of you. You just absolutely rock. Everyone that's watching and listening live, thank you for being part of this as well. If you've been participating in the live chat, thanks for doing that. Everyone that watches or listens to the shows later, thank you for being part of this as well. I'm so glad all of you are part of our BTN family. Speaking of that family, hey, Ewan, thanks for being you. You rock.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah, totally put you on the spot there.
Find it relatively easy.
No, I know it just comes naturally to you. Unlike Mueller, who has to work for his awesomeness to get to live up to your level. But hey, Mueller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. Wow, yeah. Okay, so everyone, be sure and join us next Thursday for the big show. Come back again on Friday for the Mac show, where we will be doing keynote poker for Apple's WWDC keynote event. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.